From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. And on this day, the Maine legislature is considering a bill that would actually lower the minimum wage, undoing the increase that voters passed in 2016. And we'll look at Governor Paula Page's ban on new wind energy projects in Maine and what might be behind it. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
The Maine legislature is considering a proposal that would undo yet another citizen initiative. This time, it's the increase in the state minimum wage. Mal Leary has our story.
The legislation would basically dismantle the citizen-passed legislation that increased the minimum wage over several years, maxing out at $12 an hour. The bill would actually reduce the minimum wage from the current $10 an hour to $9.50 in June, and decrease the yearly increases to 50 cents an hour until an $11 an hour wage is reached in 2021. It would also eliminate the cost of living yearly adjustment that would start that same year. The legislation was endorsed by the LePage administration. Labor Commissioner John Butera called the existing wage law a burden on business and on seniors.
Those who get hit the most are the tens and thousands of Mainers who are on fixed incomes. That weekly trip to the market for essentials, bread, milk, eggs, that once cost $20, now it's $25.
Several business owners also testified in support of the legislation. Frederick Crow, the owner of several grocery stores in Washington and Hancock counties, says when other payroll cost increases are added to the minimum wage costs, he would likely have to close at least one of his stores.
Woodland store, which has 14 employees, it puts the store at a negative profit, and I would close that store. As of next year, if the minimum wage does go to 11, more than likely I'll probably have to close that store.
But other business owners who oppose the legislation say the minimum wage increases in the law are warranted and are not an impediment to economic growth. Rod Hiltz owns a cafe in Hollowell.
So we've increased our wages. We've also at that same time decreased our costs to our customers. So our prices have gone down. And to tell how terrible this world is, we actually are expanding our dang business.
The Maine Center for Economic Policy, a progressive advocacy group based in Augusta, also opposed the legislation, arguing that there is no research showing that the minimum wage increase has hurt Maine's economy, and that there are indications the economy is growing. James Myall is a policy analyst with the center.
More than 400,000 Mainers supported gradually increasing the minimum wage to $12 an hour because they recognized the need to pay a fair wage for a fair day's work, and because they knew how a strong economy protects families from poverty.
Several business groups testified against the proposed reduction in the current minimum wage, but in support of the provisions that slow future increases and that would allow employers to pay workers under 20 years of age at 80% of the adult minimum wage. And several individuals echoed concerns that the bill seeks to undo the will of the voters at referendum, a trend that has emerged in the legislature over the past few years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
A federal judge today denied a request by Governor Paul LePage to withhold about $3 million in federal job training funds from one of Maine's regional workforce boards, while a lawsuit brought against his administration is appealed. Robbie Feinberg has details.
Earlier this month, Judge John Woodcock ordered LePage to release the $3 million to Coastal Counties Workforce, Inc., a regional workforce board based in Brunswick. Coastal Counties filed suit against the governor and state labor commissioner John Butera in October, because LePage has withheld about $8 million in federal job training funds that are intended to go to the three regional boards. LePage appealed the ruling and asked Woodcock to allow the state to continue withholding the funds while the appeal plays out. However, Woodcock denied that request on Wednesday. In his decision, Woodcock writes that LePage only has a, quote, modest likelihood of winning an appeal. He also says that if LePage continues to refuse to release the $3 million to coastal counties, the workforce board will face, quote, irreparable injury, with a good chance that it will go out of business by June. A spokesman for the governor did not respond to a request for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Maine's economic output rose at 3.2% annual rate in the third quarter of this year. That was stronger growth than was seen in the second quarter of the third quarter of 2016. Erwin Gratz has more on that.
The Federal Bureau of Economic Analysis says banks and insurance companies contributed to growth in all 50 states. In Maine, it was the category that contributed the most to the rise in the state's gross domestic product, or GDP. Retail was the other big contributor to growth in the July to September quarter. Acting as drags on the state's economy were so-called non-durable goods, things like groceries, fuel, clothing, and construction, though neither category was down by very much. Erwin Gratz, Maine Public Radio News.
Governor LePage says he'll put an open-ended moratorium on state permits for wind energy development in Maine, citing the importance of the state's scenic vistas to its $6 billion tourism economy. Wind advocates say he does not have the authority to do that and seems to be trying to derail Maine wind developers' bids for a big renewable energy contract Massachusetts is due to announce tomorrow. Fred Bever reports.
The director of the governor's energy office, Steve McGrath, says that while wind turbine projects do produce some jobs, western Maine, where wind developers are planning new projects, depends on tourism more.
It's all about the folks in western Maine in their primary industry, from their point of view, tourism, and the impact on their ability to make a living if somebody else comes along and sites wind turbines on what they perceived to be the thing that they're selling.
Wind energy advocates are angry.
This is a new low in the administration's anti-wind attitudes that we've been experiencing for 7 years.
Jeremy Payne, executive director of the Maine Renewable Energy Association, says the announcement appears to be aimed at influencing Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, whose administration is scheduled to announce the preliminary winners of a big new energy procurement on Thursday. Payne says bids include about $2 billion worth of wind energy projects in Maine from the Western Mountains to Aroostook County.
So this is very clearly an attempt to send a message to regulators in Massachusetts that this administration is going to do everything in its power to sink these projects and wreck investment.
Payne argues LePage is trying to tilt the playing field to favor a CMP proposal to build transmission lines to carry electricity from Canada's Hydro-Quebec dam system to Massachusetts. Payne and others, including House Speaker Sarah Gideon, say the governor doesn't have the authority to impose a moratorium. But Chris O'Neill, an anti-wind energy lobbyist for a group called Friends of Maine's Mountains, says state statute permits moratoria when there is a, quote, clear and present threat to the public interest, and that's what the Massachusetts RFP represents.
There's hope that the selection committee in Boston hears this loud and clear that big old stick has been jabbed into the spokes of wind in Maine.
The executive director of the Maine Tourism Association says he supports the moratorium as a means to re-examine the state's framework for siting wind energy and protecting scenic vistas. So does Ed Rosenberg, who lives in Bryant Pond, not far from two proposed wind developments.
And I applaud the governor for what he's doing today. Somebody has to take a stand, otherwise all of our rural and beautiful areas in Maine and are going to be destroyed by industrial wind, and there's very little benefit for Maine.
In the executive order accompanying his announcement of the moratorium, Governor LePage says he will propose a new wind development law for Maine, and he will create a special commission to consider wind development's impacts on the state and compliance with state and federal regulations. The commission would include state officials, lawmakers, advocacy groups, and business interests. The order would also exempt the commission's meetings from the state's public access law. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
The second earthquake in the last week shook northern Cumberland County early this morning, but not very much. Henry Berry is a geologist at the Maine Geological Survey. He says the magnitude 2.3 quake happened at about 2 this morning and would have been felt in the Paris and Otis Field areas. It's the second quake in Maine in the last week. The last one last Thursday had its epicenter in Dresden, but Berry says this is not a trend.
Earthquakes are fairly common in Maine at these small magnitudes. We have a few in the magnitude 2s every year, generally.
Berry says they are generally spread out around the state, though, so they're not usually felt by the same people. Unlike in California, where earthquakes are caused by tectonic plate boundaries rubbing together, these are caused by crumbling in the Earth's crusts. New England sits in the middle of a large tectonic plate. Finally, today in Augusta, the legislature is considering a bill that would change references to select men in state law to select persons. Hancock Selectman Randy Ewens says select men is outdated.
To still utilize a gender-specific term to identify any position in business or government, especially one of leadership, is archaic and inappropriate.
Because of the potential expense of changing all the references in state law books at one time, revisions could be phased in. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.